Hey, friends. There's a few dates in particular coming up, which I'd like to see as many 12 and a half as possible in the next few months. March 15th and 16th, I'll be headlining Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. April 5th, I'll be at the Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman, Montana. I'd love it if we could get some 12 and a half in the crowd for those particular dates. And the first week of May, I'll be at the MGM in Las Vegas. Be fun to party with you there. TJ will be in Syracuse February 16th and 17th. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Improv, March 8th and 9th. And if you want more details about his dates, go to tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. And enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Life is full of things to manage. Your work, your family, your plans, and your treatment. Consider Kesimpta, ofatumumab 20 milligram injection. You can take it yourself from the comfort of home. If you're ready for something different, ask your healthcare provider about Kesimpta and check out the details at kesimpta.com. Brought to you by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Answering the questions you don't have. Deep conversations in the shallow end. Two men with lots of ideas and less than an hour. Intelligent-ish. This is Cashing In with TJ Miller.
TJ, get out of there. You can't get back in the 3D printer. You can't. No, it doesn't work that way. No. You're getting stuck. It doesn't. You can't. It doesn't take you. Okay, now you're partially inside. Seriously,
I used to be the hit at the company parties, all right? Because I would Xerox my butt. So I'm trying to 3D print my butt at the best holiday party I've ever been to.
No, you got to get out of there, man. You got to get out. Get down. Get down.
Get down.
To do what it takes to survive. To eat things that'll make a billy goat puke.
To put
remember one thing when you come in here with John Rambo, an ample supply of body bags. Body bags.
To eat things that even a billy goat would puke about.
To eat things that'll make a billy goat fart from his penis.
That dick flapping billy goat. Billy G, they used to call in college.
TJ, I've been meaning to say this because you can't even fit into my 3D printer. You need to lose some height. Not enough people say that. They'll say, oh, you got to lose some weight. I say, you got to lose some height.
It's very interesting. I went on this trip with
my
parents.
That's my new put down.
Yeah. Hey, you got to get taller, dick slam.
Yeah.
One of my parents' friends said to me, they go, hey, great. You're great in Silicon Valley. You know what, though? No offense, but I think they should try and give you a part where you have to be a little less hefty.
Did they say that?
You should have a part with a little less weight in the series. First of all, the guy's like overweight, clearly.
Yeah.
Second of all, yeah, I gained the weight for the part.
Right,
Third of all, it's weird when, like, what kind of reality is it that I would go to the studio executives and go, hey, look. I talked to a guy in Denver, and you think he could give me a part that's a little less hefty? Ladies, take a break. Fellas, get on a scale. And that is a penis queef.
I don't think. Have you ever had anybody tell you to lose weight and not felt insulted? Even if it's for a role?
Yeah, I had a doctor tell me that because he said I was going to die.
Oh, well, okay. A doctor, I guess that would... Yeah, a doctor can say that. Now, doctors... I wonder if doctors go around and misuse
that. Well, here's the
interesting thing. I wonder if doctors go around and misuse that. So they'll see someone on the street. They're
doctor...
Saying, you got to lose a few pounds, fat ass. Hey, lard ass. Get over here. I'm a doctor.
I'm a doctor. Yeah,
it's okay.
I was going to say...
it's like a...
You should lose some weight in a clinic. Doctor in a clinic saying you should lose some weight. Not so offensive.
Yeah.
Doctor at a cocktail party saying... What are you, pregnant?
It
for Christ's sake, you look like you ate a balloon. You fucking dump truck. And I think the guy's going to be like, men don't get pregnant. Stop yelling at me. He's like, I'm a doctor. He's like, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah, it's not polite. It really isn't. I wonder if that's how people become doctors.
Just by shitting in a carburetor?
No, the people decide to become doctors because they tell people to lose some weight so many times, and those people get offended, right? And they puppet slap them. And then they go, you know, I better be a doctor where this is appropriate to tell people that. What do you think? Doctors are assholes. A-hole sours. They're a group of a-hole sours. 2007. You know?
I've been puppet slapping since 1999 ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the sense that I've never slapped a puppet.
Yeah. So you're okay with your, it seems like you're happy in your new digs. You moved and you were upset about it. And I want to talk to you a little bit about moving. How come real estate people, I don't like how real estate people have signs saying that a house is sold or a picture of a house and it says sold on it. I think those are a-hole sours. I do. It's like, what are you rubbing my face in it for? I don't go to a restaurant and see, you know, pictures of empty plates or half-even food or something. It's not good. It's not right.
Motels will say no vacancy.
No vacancy. Well, that's so you don't drive in, okay? I think it's like they should just have a sign of somebody flipping you off. Like, fuck you. You're never going to live here. A-hole sour.
They do that with concerts, too. Like, Jay-Z.
Sold out. Like,
totally sold out. Great. So I just know that they're popular?
Yeah.
That's your message?
Yeah. I guess that's the message. I really do. In choosing a place, because my wife and I may have to move, I was worried about this one place.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Oh, I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't know exactly what's happening. All I want to tell you is the conversation I had with my brother. I go, I don't know if this new place is a little too fancy. He's like, what does it have, a bowling alley? I mean, as long as it doesn't have a fucking bowling alley, I think you're okay. I like that.
That's
if you have a bowling,
standard.
that's the standard. If you have a bowling alley, it's a bit pretentious. If it doesn't, you're okay. What do you think about that? I like it. I think it's true.
I like it, but what if it has a pool?
Unless you're a bowler.
What if it has like a pool, a billiard hall, and a ping pong table room?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I think bowling alley is a good, you know,
barometer.
Signifier. Yeah.
Okay.
But you're still.
What about an elevator? I wouldn't live in a place with an elevator. A non-apartment building.
But I want a non-functioning elevator that only goes to the top of one floor.
Yeah.
So I like
a broken
elevator. No, it's not broken. It just goes to the ceiling and then goes back down. It's less to get to a different floor. It's more to see the room from up above.
You need to lose some height. You really do.
That's why I got
your weight's fine, but you got to lose some height.
People said you got to gain height.
Yep. Those elbow knees are pretty gangly. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I think it's confusing. I think one thing that makes you confused about moving into a new place is I don't think human beings know themselves very well. I think you know what you like, but that's because you haven't really tried everything, and you just assume you like something. But there might be something out there that you would like better, and it makes me – like, for example, let me give you an example. I was recently having a choice at a hotel where I could get the hotel where the bottom floor, where you have access to sort of a tree area, or the top floor, you have a great view. And I just assumed, I'll get the top floor. I always like the view. And then we got moved to the bottom floor the last day, and I realized I liked being a part of nature. And I'm just wondering, I don't think people always know what's going to serve them best. And that's what confuses me about life, and that's why I'm plagued by every decision, and that's why I'm very unhappy. And I feel like I'm being tracked down by wild animals when I wake
this
up every
really
morning.
This really eroded into
and
the
I,
saddest
And I feel
story
very
I've
sad. Yeah, I feel very
absolutely.
Sad. But let me say this about hotels, and this is a tiny opinion. Tiny opinion.
Tiny opinion.
I think that... You go motel. You always think you just want a nice hotel. You want it to be fancier. I think you get the shittier hotels, the more beautiful nature is. Motels sometimes are better than hotels because sometimes people are like, I was in Hawaii. I just stayed at the resort the whole time. Yeah, not ideal. I think sometimes it's best to be in a motel because you experience the wilderness more. It's more about the wilderness and not the hotel and the slide and all that kind of bullshit. What do you think?
I love the slide. I disagree with you openly.
In the bowling alley.
Yeah, bowling alley.
The bowling alley. A motel can be awesome.
If there's a bowling alley in your Holiday Inn, it might be a Hilton. Uncle River. Look, when I first moved in here, as you said, Kate, really.
You were upset. I came over here and you were like, I'm really upset. You were really upset.
Yeah, well, I was.
I didn't know if I'd ever see you again.
Sometimes, and I didn't want to. I don't know.
Something about the noose, which you had installed in one of the rooms. Something about that.
It's a fully electric noose.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
It was made of licorice. It was made of licorice. Didn't think it would work.
And in the rain, licorice disintegrates. Kate wanted to move here. I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. I don't like this area.
Yeah.
We live in Hollywood Heights. It's like a... It's
just you liked
like
where you were, and it was great. Yeah.
But now I understand why she wanted to be here. And I think sometimes in a relationship, you compromise it. Sometimes don't mean, well, I get this and you get this. Sometimes the real compromise is...
I'll try.
I'll try
your thing.
This sucks.
You were really upset.
I fucking hate this.
You were so sure you hated it. You were like trying to get me to say I hated it. And you're like, be honest. I'm like, I think it's about as good or better. I think it's equal or better.
I told a stranger that it was a pig dog stable.
You were really upset.
That doesn't mean anything. So we moved in. But I firmly believe that if you're really compromising with somebody, sometimes they get something that you cannot stand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have chosen. It doesn't feel like a compromise, but you do.
See how it goes.
And not to see if they'll not as a playing card to say, well, I did this. You just do it. Mm-hmm. You just let it go. And then you hope that they understand or you can communicate to them. Hopefully you'll do the same thing.
That's how I feel about our friendship. That's why Kate is going to have to wear April's old wedding dress, or I'm not coming to your fucking wedding. I'm just saying, seriously, we care about this. She's got to lose some height. But seriously, I don't. It's not that much to ask. Just say, hey, buddy, I want your fiance to wear my wife's old wedding dress. I don't think I'm just tired of arguing about this. This is ridiculous. Get back in the 3D printer, okay? If you don't want to.
No, I think, but you know, she really, really wanted to move here. I said, okay, you know, I'll compromise. And now I like it a lot more. She set up, we've got a room that's sort of the little.
This is awesome.
Little Gelman.
Yeah.
It's a library. Yeah. That's where we're recording now. She made everything, you know, look quite great. And so now
it's
I
great.
Do.
It's good.
You know, I do like living here, but it's.
It's good.
You have to, you know, it's. You have to let go of the idea that, say, get trapped in this idea of I'm a man, and so you know, I'm making I'm the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. You know, she makes money.
I'm the guy that pees in the sink, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I piss in the fucking hand washing basin.
I do,
but so I get caught in that. I go, well, you know, why don't we live where I want to live? All that. You can't look at it like that. Mm-hmm. You just have to see it as. Both of you make 50% of the income. Whoever the check is being paid to, that's fine. But the truth is that without the other person, you couldn't really get the check. Or if you got the check, you wouldn't be as happy. So they get half of it. And that's sort of how I try and think about it. If you don't, if you're sort of like, well, you make some money. Or I'll that's how there are financial problems with a relationship. Mm-hmm. Is if you start to sort of... divvy off, because any sort of action or initiative that separates you from the person that you love and you're trying to partner with, it's a house divided.
Right.
You want to link up that home.
Right. So in a nutshell, she's wearing my wife's wedding dress. That's in a nutshell.
No, where you live is important. I think she's trying to.
She's done a good job with this place.
She said, "Let's make this place
make
livable."
It work.
But I think. Anywhere's livable if you're with somebody that you don't resent.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I was. I know you'd make fun of me about the shirts. They all have holes in them, and I never thought there was a big downside to wearing shirts that are disintegrating on my body.
Holy shit!
Yeah, I never thought there was a downside, but I took it too far. I took it too far. I was in Hawaii, and
did you wear a shirt that was more whole than
was,
shirt?
Well, it was a swimsuit, which I got from the Lost and Found in 1999, probably. Okay.
It was a 2006 dick flap.
And, well, you're not that far off, my friend. My wife, about midway through the trip, she goes, Cash, your suit's completely see-through. Because it ripped midway through the trip.
Halfway through the trip?
I go, oh, shit, my suit ripped, and she was like, "Cash, it didn't just rip. It's you're showing everything on the family trip. Your pubes, everything. It's It's a see-through suit you're wearing.
But did people sort of like it? Did you see people having positive reactions?
I took a survey, and I gave it to people.
And what did they say?
73% believed it was not ideal. So that was a weird one. Now we're going to move along to essential questions of human nature.
Can you imagine the majority of people going, not ideal, just out loud?
We're going to do essential questions of human nature. Do mannequins have bigger nipples than they used to? I feel like it's gotten out of hand.
I mean,
I feel like they have bigger nipples than they used to.
I don't know. Yesterday I walked past this mannequin.
Sharp nipples.
It was a male and he...
Yeah.
He didn't have any. Look, he had on a swimming suit, and you could see through it, but he just didn't have any. I don't know, man. I mean, he didn't have any genitals, you know? And
I guess. Do you have a see through suit on? Or did
yeah,
you
I had a see through suit. Okay. Yeah. You could feel that this mannequin had had a falfin, which, as you know, from I had a trip in Hawaii with Kate. And I fell near the dolphin pool, and I fell on a dolphin, and we call that it's a falfin. And the mannequin looked like he had had a falfin, and you know, and I don't know. Let me put it this way. It was not ideal. It was not ideal. Do you think? Here's what I would love. I would love a world where at the very end of your life, you just look at your kids and your family, they're surrounding you as you're about to die. And people are like, Grandpa, or, you know, Father, Cash. What are you, any last words? Just leave the wisdom. Yeah. You've had so many years. You're so brilliant.
Yeah.
You have this podcast that everybody loved and venerated. It was called Sushi Diet Coke Baseball Podcast for babies. And you just turned everybody just so quiet. You know, there's a hush in the room that only occurs when someone's about to pass.
Yeah.
And you look at your family and you go, not ideal. That's it. This goes everyone for the rest of their lives. They're like, what did he mean?
Yeah. Let me tell you in advance what I meant. I just learned that the universe is expanding at a rate, or it's much larger than we ever thought, actually.
Which is
it's much bigger.
Not ideal.
It's much bigger than anybody thought. And when you think of how long time has been, time is so long we can't even comprehend it.
We've been talking about it. Time has been around since the beginning of time.
Yeah, longer than clocks. Let me put it that way. Longer than clocks.
Tell me about it. Okay? Clocks.
Right? And I'm talking about longer than a sundial. You know what I'm saying? Time has been around. There were fucking dinosaurs walking around land. That's nuts to think about how long life has been here, right? And we are just this tiny speck that lives such a short, tiny... We're just an ant. I mean, you know, a fly lives like, I don't know, a week at the most and tries to make the best of it. But we are a fly, really.
Yeah,
we are so short, right? Yeah, finish. We live so... And yet... I think on my deathbed, I'm going to think, knowing that, since you knew that your whole life, just how short this is going to be, why the fuck did you worry about such stupid, meaningless things? And I think the key is to try not to. And I'm having a losing battle doing it, but you got to try.
You would say not ideal.
Not ideal. That's what I would have meant. Because it's frustrating. It's frustrating that I know logically how precious this is and how short it's going to be. And yet I'm still...
But here's a new approach.
Okay.
And this is hopefully something that some of your 12 and a half will really get into.
You don't want to save this for the birthday tour?
I am not going.
You're not,
on tour.
Just come on the birthday tour.
You're asking me to commit to every night.
For
the rest of time.
You could do on some nights.
You
could pee tell you
how.
You could pee tell your shit. You could pee tell your shit on some of the nights if you want. You can combine those.
Hey,
tours.
Buddy, I'm a guy. I don't pee tell I shit. I piss tell I shit.
Oh, sorry.
T-shirt, millions of dollars.
Boom.
Nationwide tour only in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yahtzee.
Custom fit. Taste it.
Psst, taste it.
I mean, I would be, ultimately, I would be upset. I think people, hopefully this will help people, but you can't regret any of it. You know, the
energy, why are we worrying about trivial things? But the energy, we know they're trivial.
The energy should not be towards stopping the worrying.
Mm-hmm. But I worry about trivial things. I should not do that.
I'm about okay, to go fix on. Your problem.
Okay. Okay, this is good.
But you're worried about...
Lose some weight.
Get some height. The taller you are, the better you look.
Right, right.
No, I mean, truthfully, I think... Spend your time instead of saying, well, I should stop XYZ, worrying about
it. It's a negative. Yeah.
And you should just say, hey, you know, sometimes I'm going to worry about stupid shit. Life is sometimes feeling terrible, getting down on yourself, whatever. Yeah. A lot of that with Kate, she's sort of, I always joke with her that I'll say, you know, you're being pretty self-critical, because she's really self-critical. Mm-hmm. And then she'll go, yeah, I don't know, why am I like that? Like...
She's critical with me, too. She's critical. She, the other day, she was like, what the fuck is that on your face? And I go, it was
your face.
It's my nose.
No, oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's like, what is that? That's gross.
Sometimes
yeah.
when you leave, she goes, ugh, smell. It doesn't smell like shit anymore.
Go on.
But, you know, I really do believe that, like, she's pretty right on. We should just. Why not accept? Well, what I was going to say is that she really, I'll go, you're being pretty self-critical. She'll go, she's, you know, I am. I'm so self-critical. I got to stop being, why am I so self-critical? I'm like, other people don't have to criticize themselves so much. Right. I look at every single thing I do.
I see what you're saying.
If you have a double negative,
yeah.
No, I'm going, you're criticizing yourself about being self-critical.
Yeah.
You might as well be eating a peanut butter sandwich and blasting yourself with a peanut butter cannon. First of all, the second thing isn't even real.
Well, okay? you're a guy that's you've always disliked
I
people.
I butter blasted a Quaker.
Not a shit. Well, you're moving in the right direction.
I used a peanut butter cannon.
Do you ever peanut butter brittle blast butter, somebody?
Well, I butter blast.
He takes someone's face off.
He
takes someone's face off.
Completely covered in peanut butter.
With a peanut butter brittle blast.
I go, that's shit. It's a great afternoon.
But you're a guy that.
Indeed, I tried peanut butter brittle blasting a Quaker and it killed him upon impact.
Oh, geez, no,
it
is. They're terrible.
They're very sharp.
Yeah.
I mean, it's surprising even that you were sort of jokingly like.
Yeah, probably shouldn't. There's some, you know what? There's some things that are off limits on the show.
There's something.
Peanut brittle blasting off limits.
Using the B word.
Yeah, off limits.
In San Francisco or Silicon Valley.
PBB, peanut brittle blasting, off limits on the show. Just. Sip that as loudly as you want, my friend. We're going to move along to a section I like to call, it's a working title. Some people like to call it, they have different names for it. Some people like to call it,
Where were
sometimes
you?
Sometimes I feel like somebody's tweeting
where
me.
Were you?
Sometimes
where were
I
you?
Feel
where
like
you?
Somebody's tweeting me. That's what some people like to call it. Other people like to call it tweet.
Triple banger lightning round.
Tweet me home tonight.
Triple banger lightning round.
I don't want to let you
round
go till I see the light. Tweet my little baby.
What hurts?
Yeah, someone said to me, they go, I love the section What Hurts the Most out of any of the different categories. Someone said that to me in, I think, Appleton. And I said, well, I guess you don't like the show much because we've only done that three times. We will do some more What Hurts. And then that person's friend was like, I like Tickling the Oracle. That's one of my favorites.
There you go.
So you know what? The things that are the most rare, people cherish. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe that makes the birthday tour not quite as what I'd hoped for.
Keep it rare with the songs that you sing.
Yeah, something like, stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody tweet, what's going down?
Like a certain percentage of superheroes, maskers.
Somebody watching me, I'm tweeting my fantasy.
Tweedalize.
It's called Tweedalize. That's what they call it. It's a working title, and we're still, the show is still under construction. I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Excuse our dust.
Yes, excuse our dust, but the show is under construction. Yeah.
Unfortunately for you, there's no Froyo yogurt stop. While you miserable, dead human spirits
2 years
shuffle through the terminal on your way to catch a flight to a family you hate. This is D.B. Stinnenstein's Portland Airport, Shithouse, U.S., way out of line.
And his partner in crime, Frank Dillonport. His partner in crime, Frank Dillonport, coming to you live on a Friday night.
We've got the buttery, slap-dab, double trouble.
Tasty pods.
Coming up with a Rick Dinner Style.
Pull out your penis and shove it into the back of your asshole. We got some.
To the idea of cardboard, it's Ricky G. James on Dick Clap the Snapper.
Put
down
some oven mitts on your head and take a spin, because we're going to take you for a ride. And my name is Ted McGillicuddy, and that's Billy Bob Baxter coming to you live on a Friday afternoon.
Bobby D died last week in a terrible train fire. It's Rick McGillicuddy and Dick Slap Drapid Gap. Uncle Witherbitters has died outdoors.
Frank Dellenport doing the weather, and he'll be back with you in a jiffy. He's in Copter 5.
Chrissy in Copter 4, almost out of gas, promises to die within the next hour.
Dancing Billy Bob Bear will make you laugh periodically, and he's going to bring it up hot and slice it up for you.
Astor Place resident McMallister Clickclallister has admitted he has a completely fake name.
And that is the producer of the century, Frankie Doinker.
Hubby Bob.
In the Philly Flob Room.
We're coming live from the Philly Flob Room.
You wrote
executive producer Brewster, collective Garooster, has admitted that his name merely rhymes with his title.
And I am Ted McGillicuddy speaking into these pine cone cones. I can't even talk.
This is Derber Herbdorf, the dwarf porn star, saying that he pine comes into the Gillicones.
You tweeted, also I have a dream often that my legs turn into cascading waterfalls of baby spiders. And then you write, no, forget about that one. You wrote, and actually feet are bone shoes.
That's true.
Bone shoes.
Can we just real quick talk about this? I had a music album in 2011. Okay. Yes. This is hard for me to
talk about, but a lot
of people don't consider me a musician.
Okay.
And I had a couple tracks on my EP, you know, it's 41 tracks about.
Okay.
One of them was Swimming Fins. One was Ankle Fat. Another, what I thought was going to be a hit. And that was
Ankle Fat. Was that the Kankles song?
No. Fine Women's Garments.
Okay.
And none of those hit.
No.
And I think, you know, I have to understand that sometimes I'm going to create something and people don't
take to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to admit now publicly on your show.
Okay.
That, anyway, this is.
This is what my show's for. A lot of people like to come on here and bare their soul.
This is not what I, you know, look.
I want you to tell us.
Well, I've become friends with Dane Cook, so we get along better, but God, this is so weird.
It's okay, and this is part of why people like to have this platform, because there's literally 12 and a half people out there that are going to listen and accept you for who you are.
I named a piece of bark, Kevin. So, you know, we were walking by a tree, saw a piece of bark. You know, I named it Kevin. Started talking to it. My wife lost her fucking shit. She started kickboxing a rickshaw driver.
You were in India at the time, or just...
No, this was actually Palo Alto, mm-hmm, and I... Mm-hmm. Such a bummer. Wow, so,
that's where I grew up. That place is changing. I'm gonna tell you, the rickshaw drivers.
Remember back in the day?
Yeah, back in the day, things were different back then. You couldn't get run over with a rickshaw driver.
You could fist
on El Camino.
You could fist fuck a Britannica editor.
Yeah, they had cars on El Camino back then. Now they have rickshaw drivers.
There was an encyclopedia editor that I found my way halfway in between his big toe and his foot index finger. So I ultimately very distressing. And the biggest thing about it was that I wouldn't have had a problem, but Kate sort of told the family. TJ had named a piece of bark Kevin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my uncle, Kevin, who was a carnival barker.
Mm-hmm.
So for years he barked in people for the carnival, was incredibly upset. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the last time that I spoke with him.
Wow.
So that's...
Well, thanks for bearing your soul here on the show. I mean, this is... it's always good when someone can come in and get that kind of thing off your chest.
I pissed like shit.
That's the real... That's the real t-shirt there.
I pissed until I shit.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I did hear somebody, and this will be a little bit crude. I don't know if I've mentioned this on another show. But I did meet somebody on a road trip in the bathroom or something. They were bragging about some girl they had sex with. And he said, I fucked her till I came.
Really?
He actually said that to me.
Why?
That's the most. I was like, what? That's pretty much usually what happens. I don't even know what to say. Like, I don't even know what to say to you.
Or what's the alternative?
How did that? You told a stranger that. What do you say to the people you really know?
Do you love this idea? Do you love
it? It was terrible.
Man, I fucked her till I didn't come. I had to go home. A ton of stuff to do tomorrow.
Yeah. What do you even say? I would say, I pissed till I was empty. That's what I should have said.
You should have gone.
I don't even know what.
He goes, I fucked her till she came.
He said, till I came.
Oh, sorry.
That really? Made it. Yeah.
Oh, that's worse.
I know. That's what he said.
Till I came. You should have gone.
He wasn't bragging about.
You should have said.
He wasn't bragging about bringing her to pleasure.
You know,
he was saying, I am a man and I was able to
you
come.
You know what I recently did?
Isn't that crazy?
You go. I came until I fucked her. I was just ejaculating nonstop until the moment that we had intercourse. And at that point, there's nothing left. I went for it. It was fun, but I was like, I've been coming since you called me to come over.
That's called a sticky zipper when you come in your pants and she doesn't know about it. It's pretty useful, guys.
A zicky stipper.
Yeah, that's a whole different
thing.
Is
when you've already stuck your zipper to your Zuckerman's cum deli sandwich.
We're going to finish it up with maskers.
There's a part of me that knows that everyone listening is like, swing and a miss.
No.
From TJ, not from how I did, but just... They, I think, at the beginning of the podcast thought, you know, this guy, he's got some integrity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Look, that is out the window.
I don't think so. I think we've mentioned people much worse than us. People with bowling alleys in their house. People who say things like, I had sex with her till I came, which is the weirdest brag I've ever heard in my life. I can't even fathom what that would mean to
Zippy
say such a thing.
Sticker. That's when you...
Yeah, you're going to do it again.
You get a sticker... Sorry, you get a zicker, which is a sticker that is also a zipper stuck in your zipper. That's a zicky stripper is a woman who takes off her clothes and reads Ziggy, the comic book, and thinks it's kind of icky. From the beginning, I think some people listening thought, you know, this guy's, he's giving it his all.
Yeah.
I think now you're beginning to realize that not only am I not giving it my all, I'm giving it Kevin's all. An uncle of mine that died in a train fire. And as he was dying, he said, I remember this so clearly, he said, all aboard. And no one knows why he said that. It was so ironic and bizarre. But I think it ultimately... He was the least liked in the family.
But you did name a piece of bark after him.
I did.
And that's the kind of guy you are. Even a guy that's not very beloved, you will memorialize them on a tree.
Years later, I found out that bark had betrayed me.
Hmm. And it, this is the part. This is the part of the story that I think
it changed its name to Bevan.
Bevan the Bark.
That's a combination of Bark Kevin. Gotta say, ruined that month.
We gotta finish it up with Maskers.
Let's do it.
We do. Maskers, we've got no audio. Isn't any noise the most annoying if held for a long enough time? That's from Not TJ Miller's Tomato. Someone actually has a handle on Not TJ Miller's Tomato.
Till you shit would be the answer of that one. No, I met Not TJ Miller's Tomato, and I love her. She's a sweetie. What is it? Isn't...
Oh, this? Wait.
Read it again.
Oh, isn't any noise the most annoying if held for a long time?
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes that... You know that the sound of winning a slot machine? If mm-hmm. that goes on for years, no one is upset. So
yeah, I'm going to do this. I love this trio of them. Nick Metz, M-E-T-S-C-H writes, New Year's resolutions.
I have a phobia of him that I'll ever meet him, and he'll go, we've Metz before. And I just New Year's, go,
well, he would
glad
like that.
To meet you, maniac.
He would like that. Look at him. New Year's resolutions, more like New Year's revolutions. Hashtag circle the sun, motherfucker. He didn't add that last part. He also writes, is space-time just a manifestation of gravity? And then the third one he wrote is, do you think the sun is just lonely and uses gravity to bring it friends? I like that. Do you think the sun is just needy? The sun seems kind of needy, kind of clingy. The sun, kind of clingy.
I feel like.
What do you think?
I feel like sometimes
clingy
when
sun?
He's. I feel like sometimes when he's sort of doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone should tell him, hey, time is a flat circle.
Tell the sun
deal
that?
With it. No, just deal with that.
You think the sun should know
You're
that?
Worried about if the sun has friends? Mm-hmm. Here's something to worry about. Is time a human construct or is it our God?
Interesting. Interesting. Things have got pretty deep, especially the part about Kevin the Bark. You want to do one more or no?
Yeah.
Well, this show's been very deep, so I'm just going to come out and say this one. I don't know if people can even handle the philosophy of this one. Socks.
Yeah, I salmon blasted a Quaker.
Yeah.
That's when I eat so much salmon and only salmon. And then I also insert into my rectum I sand them with my salmon.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
By that I mean I just. Do you know sandblasting?
Yeah, I do.
It's what you use to sort of remove mm-hmm. graffiti. So I salmon blast them.
You ever try it?
I sand them with a salmon.
Okay.
And I just shoot an immense amount of salmon. The fish.
Yeah.
I guess out of the back of me.
Out of, yeah, you know, classy way to say it. Yeah.
And, you know, it will.
You salmon blast.
I don't want to be pretentious, but it will bowl over Quakers. They'll just fall over. It's just such a forceful blast.
Okay, we've lost our last Quaker listener after all of this.
To tell you the truth, they needed to go.
Really? You didn't think they were...
Yeah, well, I tried to salmon blast them, but these fucking...
At least you didn't peanut brittle blast them, you know? Last one, and this is, again, the show gets pretty profound, so we're just going to keep with the theme. Socks, feet gloves... Yep. It gets deep.
Yeah.
The show gets deep.
But they don't only the top. No, they're feet mittens, right? They're fittens.
Fittens. They're more like fittens, aren't they?
Yeah, they're
I'm
not.
I'm going to put my fittens on.
They're foot mittens. They're not.
I think socks should be called fittens. I like it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw on my fittens.
We're changing
and
the world.
If you have the
one
little,
podcast
the
at
socks
a time.
With the toes, you go. Yeah, and put on my
okay. Get back in that 3D. Get back in the 3D printer
soaps.
Right now.
I don't really
get back. Get back in there. I'm gonna shove you down. Just shove. Just stop.
I don't want to
get back in there. Get stop. Wait, TJ. TJ. Well, I guess he's still here. Yeah, can you see his? It's interesting to watch someone go back into a 3D printer. All that's left.
Help me.
Hey, what's this?
Help me.
What's this? There's something. What's this? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a it's a salmon. Mm-hmm.
One last shit blast.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.